This is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye!
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson. Hello.
Hello. And we're going to have a very interesting show. We're a little slow in the uptake, but shortly we'll have it all together. We're having a little problem with the phone on the other end. But let me start it out with the fact that there's all this talk about longevity, and by some very brilliant people, longevity, yet some of our finest and most brilliant holistic health practitioners are dying. We're looking at Nick Gonzalez, who went home for lunch and literally died of a heart attack at lunchtime. Brilliant practitioner who also walked the walk and talked the talk. We're talking about Stephen Sinatra, and he was in his late 60s. We're talking about Stephen Sinatra, who was a brilliant practitioner, absolutely brilliant. He changed the thinking of the nation in relationship to their relationship to cholesterol, their relationship to bringing down inflammation in the body with autoimmune disease. He also, many of his patients, he turned their heart disease around and was able to give them longer, more healthful and active lives. And then at 78, he died. So we really wanted to look at this as a phenomena. We wanted to, if we're really talking about longevity, we wanted to go to the source as someone who's experiencing this, and shortly they will be on, and we want to talk about it in relationship to our lives and what we can do. We also want to share this conversation with you. We would love you to call in, share your thoughts. We would love you to call in, share your protocols. I never forget Dr. Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker talked, and he's a male, as you know, Dr. Julian Whitaker from California, another brilliant practitioner. He sent out a newsletter talking about the health protocol that he was using in his life. And he was a vegetarian, and he had ridden on his bicycle across country. I think it was two times.
I don't remember. I remember him engaging people to join him on that ride.
It was a minimum of two times, if not more. And he spoke about, he had a protocol from when he was younger, when he was building muscle and stamina and strength and maintaining his health. He had a different protocol as he got older, also maintaining stamina and health, but also focusing on his joints and keeping his joints healthy. And as he got older, he continued that other protocol and added to his protocol inflammation. because as we got older, we have a tendency to build inflammation. And he added that to his protocol. And then he was sending this newsletter out at a time. He said, now is the time that I need to look at my brain and really focus on supporting my brain. And it was pretty interesting to watch these different protocols as he aged, as his body needs changed. And that is even more dramatic in women when we look at their health and how their bodies change when they go through when they go through puberty, and then they get a little older and they go to pregnancy and pre-pregnancy and post-pregnancy, and then into pre-menopause, then into menopause, and then into post-menopause, and what we see in terms of their body needs. So today we want to speak about longevity and what we can do at different times in our life. Now, we see that most doctors don't think nutrition has anything to do with longevity or some of the maladies that we see as people age, i.e. hearing loss or cataracts. They know that aging has something to do with it. They create it as a cause, but they do not relate to that they can intercede in that process and maybe block it. What do you think, Carol?
Well, first of all, we need to give out the numbers so people will phone us.
That'll work.
And we discussed about doing a bit of a series on the senses. As people are getting older, one of the things that makes their lives most difficult is the acuity of their senses. And we want to talk about hearing today in the ears. So what's the number? I'm just trying to look it up myself. Phone in number is
212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
So this was so interesting to think about this, because my husband too, as he got older and older, and he passed away at 86, he became plagued with more and more issues. He had vision issues, but I think the ability to hear was diminishing quite a lot, and it really caused his world to shrink, in my opinion. It was very difficult. And so we didn't go to restaurants like we did before, because when he wore hearing aids, he could hear the whole room except for the person next to him. There's hearing aids that don't quite address the problem. It's very difficult. So I'd like to talk about what causes this age-related hearing loss. We did have a speaker on one time. It was Ben Bickman, and his book is Why We Get Sick. One of the things he brought up was hearing loss caused by insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome. And we've talked about this many, many times, but I was quite astonished when he brought that up. I think he's got a good point. I'd never heard it before he brought it up. Corinne?
Can you remind us about what Ben shared with us?
Well, he was an expert on insulin and high insulin. And that's one of the things that drives this whole metabolic syndrome. We have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Our whole functioning is decreasing, and it's sort of blind to us unless your doctor does fasting insulin tests to see if that has become high. We don't really see that. And that insulin is being driven by our diet and our blood glucose. The more our body is screaming for glucose to be shuttled into the cell because it's in our blood, we make more and more insulin until we get to the point where we can't make it at all. So it's all part of this pre-diabetic diabetic syndrome where our hearing gets impaired. And it's a result of the higher insulin levels. So I checked on a number of things that may cause hearing loss. Now, we say age-related hearing loss, but it could be underlying any number of causes, like infection, like Lyme disease, which is really rampant and often not discussed as a possible issue for hearing. And then we need to look at addressing the cause, or bacterial meningitis. Trauma, a head injury can cause hearing loss. Autoimmune diseases. And there are a number of drugs. I remember some of these antibiotics. We were so warned in pharmacy school about the ototoxicity, meaning the drugs themselves impaired your hearing. And there are chemotherapy. We have things like cisplatin, which is platinum-based. This platinum-based chemotherapy may be a cause of hearing loss. And even large doses of aspirin, although that's sort of a flip because I find it later, aspirin can be a good anti-inflammatory, good pain reliever, and actually improve circulation to the ears. And then blood coagulation problems. And this is something we need to start looking at. We can do a test called the D-dimer, and it will give us an idea if there is any microcoagulation or not. And the microcoagulation can be caused by a number of problems in our environment right now. And so you can take a look at that, have a D-dimer test done, and see if you're at high risk for clotting in the little microcirculation vessels. And if it is, the proteolytic enzymes like lumbrokinase, natokinase, serrapeptidase are all really, really wonderful treatments for this to improve circulation. So what, Corinne?
I'm having a little difficulty connecting with our guest, and that's what I've been focusing on right now. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Give a call in and let's talk about longevity and what it means to you. And some of the things that are important in longevity. One of the things that Victor Longo says, and Victor Longo is one of the number one experts on longevity. He says that one of the most important things in relationship to longevity is goals. Having goals and how they focus you into the quality of your life and a desire to keep on living. That is essential in relationship to the quality of your life. What do you think of that, Carol?
Well, I want to go back to the issues as you get older with hearing, because we shouldn't think that this is something that is forever. You lose your hearing and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Sometimes it's neurological. It can be with migraines and it's associated with MS. But those situations can be improved. And I'm really interested that Meniere's disease is associated with hearing loss. And Meniere's disease involves a really severe loss of balance as well. And the underlying thing with Meniere's disease is low thyroid. So when your thyroid function is less than desirable, not only you get balance problems and deafness problems. You also get less than ideal functioning. So low thyroid is really a big issue with the elderly. I just read a little piece that mentioned testing people in the hospital in serious situations.
Well,
and yes,
I know. I'm so excited. She finally, we were able to connect. Hi. And guess what? This is my mother. She's 100 years old. And we're going to talk with her about aging. Let's go to the experts, the real experts. Mom?
Yes, honey.
You can hear me. Thank goodness. I called you bunches of times this morning, and somehow we weren't able to connect in the afternoon immediately. But I'm so happy you're on.
Thank you.
So this is what I want to start this way and ask you, because we're talking about aging, and we're not just talking about getting old. We're talking about quality of life aging. That's the essential part, is quality of life aging. We don't want to just age and lay in a bed with a respirator and people being fed with a tube. We want a quality of life. And I'm just going to talk about you. You, although you've had some problems with your legs due to an injury during the surgery. So you walk with a walker, but still you're 100 years old. You cook for yourself. You take care of yourself. You have been on no medicines. Now you're on one med to help balance your blood pressure, not your blood pressure, but your heartbeat. But you're on one medicine. That's it. And it's just an amazement. On Sundays, you invite people over and you make a special dinner, Sunday dinner. You have a garden that you work on, and you grow your own vegetables, and that's at 100. So, Mom, I just want to start with this one. What brings you joy in your life?
Well, principally, thinking about my generous, loving children and their spouses, I feel so blessed. That's my main joy, but there are many joys. I feel joy when I'm working on my balcony garden. I feel joy when I'm cooking in my kitchen. And I like being independent. I'm in my own space, in my own apartment. Many things bring me joy. I enjoy reading. Yes.
So, Marie, this is Carol. Corinne's partner here, and I'm enjoying Corinne's hospitality this week. What would you think contributes to your successful lifespan? Did you pay attention to healthy eating, exercise? Was your life difficult? Did you have to work hard, or was it easy for you?
Let's start with one at a time.
Okay, let's say, do you believe that your eating habits are very healthy and that contributed to your successful aging?
I'm sure that was helpful. I'm sure that was a factor.
So share with us what kind of foods you eat. What's your basic diet? What do you eat every day?
Well, it's a Mediterranean diet. I consider myself a peasant cook. My children are more gourmet cooks, but I consider myself a peasant cook, and I'm happy with it.
And what does peasant mean? Peasant means you eat beans once a week or twice a week, like lentils. You eat fish and vegetables. Go on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, not at all.
Okay. I was thinking of the times when I would ask my mother, what are you having for dinner? And she would name a vegetable, and then she'd say, and a piece of meat. I'd say, no, in America, we select our meat first, and then the vegetables. but you know, her emphasis was on the vegetables first and a piece of meat.
And it was a small piece of meat. It wasn't a large piece of meat. A piece of chicken and it was always small. I remember that.
Yeah, we had a variety. We always had a variety. And steak was on Saturdays when Papa was, my dad was home from work.
Yeah. What would you consider that your longevity, that you lived along this long period of time because your life has been so easy?
I don't know. Actually, I've been puzzled by it because my mother died when she was 73 and my father at 78. So I didn't anticipate living to be over 100 because I'm 180 days now.
Wow.
And I have to keep telling myself because I feel a little overwhelmed by it. I can't believe that I'm this age, except when I'm trying to walk and my pace is slow and slower. I don't move very well, but I attribute some of that to the surgery I had on my back when I was in 2006.
Uh-huh. So you raised four children.
Yes.
Was this easy for you or was it a lot of work?
Was what a lot of work?
Raising your children.
Four children, working with dad.
I had a good partner. I mean, he was a good father. And I don't say that it was easy. I mean, we had our stressful moments. But it was, we mostly enjoyed each other, I think. Although I've had my children tell me that I was the strict disciplinarian that their father was easy because all they gave him was the silent treatment and then they could get what they were seeking from him.
So did you always gather at meal times? Did you have breakfast, lunch, dinner together as a family?
Always. Dinner was on the table soon after my husband came home from work. Yeah, that's even though that was something our ancestry did. I'm of Italian ancestry, and that was just commonplace then, you know.
So you were an immigrant family. You didn't speak English very well in the beginning. So you had all the stress of being in a country where your mother doesn't speak the language, your dad does to a degree, and you learned English in school where there was quite a bit of prejudice against Italians at that time.
Well, there were little sections. There was the Italian section and the Polish section. I lived in Rochester, New York, and the eastern states were more discriminatory, I found out, than the far western states.
Now, do you believe a positive attitude has helped you?
Oh, I know it has because, you know, we all have our negative moments, but I have never allowed it. I've never allowed myself to wallow in the negativism because I have so many blessings and I when I'm aware of how grateful I am for all my blessings, that helps overcome any negativism. And you know, there's another thing that I didn't share with you earlier. I feel, you know, I'm over 100 now, and I think of my 16-year-old granddaughter and what a strong survivor she is. At 16, she had to overcome a big handicap. So that's inspiration enough.
So, Mother, were you always positive, or did you create positivity in your life?
I think it developed, it evolved, because I thought people who were more spiritual rather than religious hypocrites, and I felt attracted to people who maybe thought a little bit outside the box, but they were motivated and remembered that our choices determine what happens in our lives.
So at 100, what motivates you now? What are things that you look forward to?
Well, I look forward to remaining as independent as I can for as long as I can. And I'm remembered to be cautious, because not only for my own safekeeping, but I don't want to be an influence, a burden on my children. That's very, very, very important to me.
So do you have some goals?
I beg
More
your pardon?
More specific goals?
My specific goal is to remain independent as long as I can, love.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. What causes difficulties? I know that surgery thing really took a bite out of your walking. So that's hard. Are you able to do exercise and physical stuff? And is this something you were in your lifetime doing a lot of physical things throughout your life?
Although I was never a sports person, but I was accustomed to walking daily, especially before I came to Carlotta, where I live. It's a senior retirement home. I'd walk the perimeter of where I lived at least twice in the morning at 7 o'clock, and then I went through a long period of being in the pool with my lady friend at 7. So. And that was a daily thing. Yeah, I'm sure that was helpful, but I was never, you know, that sporty. But I was busy, and raising four children doesn't keep you on your seat as long.
No, it doesn't. Mom, do you have any advice you want to give to our listeners about living a long and healthy, happy, fulfilled life?
Well, I think one of the important things, and people reminded me of that at my wonderful 100th birthday party, I like to learn something new each day if I can, and I like to teach as well. I love sharing things that people are receptive to. Not everyone is receptive to learning, but I am, and the people that I try to teach are as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Also, I'd like to also add something to that. I think that the people that you reach out to and that surround you have created a wonderful balance in your life. I think that it was so hard on people, COVID and the isolation. I think emotionally and physically, it was really set a lot of people back. And I think that having the group around you that you have, I think it's very beneficial. They find that people who live long lives are people who are more social and who are involved in the community. And that's what I see in you. You're involved in your community there. And it always pleases me when people are walking by and knock on your door to say hello and say good morning and talk. And it just makes me so happy to hear that. So, Mom, anything else?
Yes, I was just thinking of something that I've neglected to share with you. I enjoyed my times as a volunteer. I volunteered as teacher's aide, I found that very helpful. And another thing, after I became widowed, I attended classes at junior college at our College of the Desert, and I took language classes, which always have fascinated me. I took both Italian and French, all semesters available, and some women's literature and things like that. And I had a course in the computers also, but, you know, if you don't use things, you lose them. So that's what I keep telling my legs and my feet. You know what you're supposed to do, do it.
Now there's one other thing that I'm going to mention about you is that you do a lot of reading. You read.
Oh, I love to read. Yes. In fact, I've been on a binge now. My daughter-in-law supplies me with books in my Kindle, and I've been going from one good book to another, and I'm reading one now that I'm excited about.
But yeah, there's something else that you do, and this is really important, is that you read, which many people do, but then you incorporate what you have learned into yourself, into your life habits, and that is so unique, because not only do you read, you learn and create changes. And that's essential for quality of life and growth. It's like a curiosity. So, Mom, you know what I'm going to do?
No.
I'm going to give the phone number out. If anybody wants to ask you a question, they may. And then we're going to say goodbye, okay?
Okay, my love.
The number to call is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And if you're going to call to speak with Marie Fornari, my mother, please call right now. She'll only be on a short period of time. Or if you're going to call and talk about longevity and some of your personal protocols, what you feel is working for you, what you feel didn't work for you, any of the above would be lovely, and we'd like to hear and speak with you about it. So I'm going to keep you right there, Mom, for just a second longer, and then again, 212-209-2877.
I'm here.
Thanks.
So I wonder if there's some people listening to us that are in their 90s or have reached 100, and they're actually listening to our show and take the time to call in and comment on their lifestyles and how they got where they were.
212-209-2877. Carol?
So here we are
talking about longevity. And I remember when people lived into their 80s, we thought they were so old. But now we're seeing people live into their 90s very comfortably. We're seeing people live into their 100s also somewhat comfortably. And our expectations are different. So what is your protocol and what works for you? You know, my mother, we're talking quite loudly because my mother's hearing has been somewhat impaired. It's not as good as it used to be. And so we were talking about hearing, Carol. I was with an older woman last week who was having some hearing problems.
Corinne, we have some callers holding.
Oh, I didn't see. Well, that's wonderful.
Let's go.
Okay. Hi, you're live on BAI. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Francine. I'm calling up from the Catskills Mountains outside of Wonderful. New York.
I love Can you speak up,
She's
please?
Such an inspiration, and the mind is so clear. Oh,
Isn't
it's
it?
So moving. I want to adopt her. Could she adopt me, maybe? Because I'm all alone in America. I came by myself 40 years ago. I have no family, but all my friends are my family. Very inspiring, and I love your shows. You're doing a fabulous job for so many, many, many years.
Thank you,
Francine.
Keep on reading. Keep on inspiring all the neighborhood. You are a star. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I also wanted to mention, you said your family was you did not come with your family, but you said it. Keep your friends close. That connection, that societal connection, helps you stay healthier. And also, one of the things that I used to do with my little boy, who's now not little any longer, we used to watch Curious George. And why? Because I told him that being curious was the most important thing to your health. And when he came home from school, you know what I'd ask him? I'd say, how many questions did you ask today? The teachers must have just loved me. How many questions did you ask today?
Corinne, we have some more callers holding.
The more questions, the more you learn. Hi, you're live on BAI. Your name, please.
Hello, is that me?
Hi. Can you speak up a little, please?
I'm trying, yes. This is Yannick.
Hi, Yannick.
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to hear of your age. I'm just 72, just retired school teacher.
Oh, you're a baby.
Yes. So, and then now I have to find retired people to be my friend because the older ones don't want to be anymore. Don't have. But I'm very curious like you, like to read, and I'm going to continue doing that. I live alone, so I have to be independent, so I just have to learn, get new goals.
Exactly.
Enroll into a college course in September to keep my
Oh, excellent. Yeah. You'll make new friends.
Yes.
My mother in her 70s would go to the elementary school and teach little kids how to read. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the greatest gift or the greatest gift that you can receive is giving.
Yes,
so joining organizations that support and make the society better is so beneficial for you, for your health, for your energy, for your focus.
Yes.
And one of the best, my mother used to come home from the elementary school so happy working with these kids, and these kids just loved her.
Yeah.
They loved her because they had never gotten this type of individualized attention before.
In New Jersey, what happened after you just retired, you have to spend a year not to go back to the school system. No, difficult part. But after that, maybe after the year, I can go back and help around.
Yeah. That might be wonderful to do. I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And we have someone else on the line. Hi, you're live. I'm BAI.
Hi, is it my turn?
Yes. Sounds like it is. What's your name, please?
My name is Denise Crawford. I'm in Brooklyn.
Hi, Denise. I love that name. It's my sister's name.
Oh, wow. I was in high school, a private school, 4 Denises in my class.
Oh, funny.
All right. I just want to say what a pleasure it is for you to bring your mother on. Also, I listen to Gary Noel, and he says we should really live till we're 100, till we're 150, if you do all the right things. And I guess with your spiritual journey, you have to count that in, because we don't decide sometimes how long we live.
Yeah.
I didn't hear your mother's age. That's what I wanted to hear.
My mother is 100 years old and 3 months.
And 3 months. Okay, beautiful. Uh-huh. I hope she lives another 50.
Well, I hope we really haven't focused on another 50. We're focusing on 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
She's got multiple grandchildren. I think there's 14 or 15 of them. And we look at each birthday of each child and focus toward that date. But as you can see, look at how clear her mind is.
Yeah.
Look at how she speaks. She speaks with a vibrant voice, not a hesitant voice.
Yeah.
And she's caring for herself and taking care of herself.
Yeah.
And that's what we want for all of us. Go on.
Exercise. I know you eat meat, but no meat, organic, exercise.
Yeah.
Supplement. Those are the key.
Walter Longo said, and he's like one of the top people in longevity in the world.
He's particularly working with people over 100 years old
and
collecting data wherever in the world they are. Mm-hmm. And he tends to recommend a vegetarian lifestyle, but Corinne reminded me that he believes that older people should eat meat. They need the protein, and it's easy to digest.
Well, what he does with people in their 90s, he gives them raw beef.
Mm.
Italians eat what they call carpaccio, or a tartare, and they eat raw beef because he said that older people are not able to metabolize iron and get and older people need the iron to support their immune system.
You can get different supplements.
A 70-year-old, that would be too much iron. But a 100-year-old, they need it. Go on, I'm sorry.
You get it from the supplements, you get it from the vegetables, and it's scientifically proven that the vegetables are complete. They have everything. And the shape of our teeth, the shape of our teeth is meant for eating vegetables. And the animals with the fangs, they rip the meat, and the colon is short, it goes in and out, whereas our colon is like how many feet long. And
yeah, but it's not long like a straight vegetarian, like a cow or like animals that eat only vegetables. So that's a whole other discussion.
Very important
one. The vegetarian animals, they live the longest. You know, the turtle, the elephants, 300 years, and the meat-eating animals, 30 years.
They might not be pure vegetarians because there's a lot of bugs to be eaten with the vegetables when in the wild.
That's another discussion and an important one, and we'd love to have that at another time. So thank you so much, and we will revisit that on another show. So the number to call, 212-209-2877. And I think we have time, maybe, if someone calls instantly, absolutely instantly, we have time for one more call. But Mom? No, I guess she's not there any longer.
Okay.
And
honey?
Yeah. Oh, there she is.
Mom, is you've heard people calling. Is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, yes, honey. My nurse is here. I need to hang up, love.
Okay.
Okay, I love you, Mom. Okay. Thank you. You're a superstar.
Thank you, Marie. It's so nice to be talking with you today.
And this is your brother, Richard. It's a family affair on this. Actually, I've been holding this nurse off for the last 20 minutes or more. So.
Okay. Thanks, Rich.
Great show.
We'll call you after the show.
It was a great show.
Thank you.
So this is the way we're starting our series, and we're going to be doing a series on longevity. And there were some very important points brought up here. And one of them is goals. There's a power in creating goals and working toward them. There's a power in maintaining your mind and working to learn. You know, one of the hardest things to learn as we age is a new language. And that is just a wonderful thing to focus on. My mother has Duolingo.
So did my mom. She died at 94, but in the year before she died, she was using Duolingo for Polish, which was her childhood language, but she hadn't learned to write it and read it so well. So it was quite challenging for her. And she was at it every day. She had her lesson.
That is wonderful. So looking at where you can learn, looking at goals, but don't just learn something, learn it and incorporate it into your life. And just like I said, I always told my son and still do, Curious George, he's this incredible example. Because he was always curious, always trying to learn, always getting into trouble, and always working it out with his mind. And that's what we want to do. And so we will continue this series. We'll get a little more scientific, but we wanted to share with you the possibility and the potential of getting to the year 100 with your brain, your energy, your mind, your focus intact. And that's real. So, Carol.
So we're at the end of our show. And I think we should remind everybody of our Facebook page. It's Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. Please send us your comments there. We'd love to know what you'd like to talk about, or comments about this show or any other show. We'd really appreciate your feedback.
And we'd love you. Would be the greatest joy is if you call in to 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950 and become our buddy. It's so much fun. Like I've said many times before, this is a contract. And it's a contract that we make and have made that allows us for 60 years to continue this show. And hopefully we're intending 60 more years. The number to call is 212-209-2950. Support this show. Take Charge of Your Health. Support WBAI. Thank the engineer who worked very hard to help us put this show together. That's Reggie Johnson. And we will be back next week. Thank you, Reggie. Thanks for your help.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Marie for being with us.
And thank you, Carol. I always learn when we're together.
Oh, me too. It's always a challenge.
We'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye. In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. China conducted what it called precision missile strikes in the Taiwan Strait today, part of military drills promised in response to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan this week. Japan's defense minister said five of the missiles launched by China landed within Japan's coastal economic zone, calling them, quote, serious threats to Japan's national security and the safety of the Japanese people, end quote. China has announced naval and air exercises in six zones surrounding Taiwan, which Beijing considers to be a rogue province that must return to the fold. The United States is bound by federal law to provide Taiwan with the means to defend itself, but it is not obligated to send American troops. Russian artillery strikes today hit a Ukrainian city close to Europe's largest nuclear power plant, damaging dozens of residential buildings and destroying power lines. The strikes come just days after the UN's nuclear chief warned that the nuclear plant is, quote, completely out of control. Rafael Grossi, director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency, told the AP in an interview yesterday that, quote, every principle of nuclear safety has been violated at the plant, which is under the control of Russian forces. He said the plant's physical integrity hasn't been respected and said communication with staff at the plant has been sporadic. Grossi said his agency needs to perform inspections to ensure the safeguarding of nuclear material. The IAEA had performed similar inspections of the Chernobyl disaster site after it was surrendered by Russian forces in March. In domestic news, five states held primary elections on Tuesday in a further test of Donald Trump's grip on the GOP. In Michigan, Trump-endorsed businesswoman Tudor Dixon won the race for the party's gubernatorial nominee with over 41% of the vote. The race for Arizona governor is still too close to call, but Trump-endorsed Carrie Lake declared herself winner last night as her lead in the polls remained within 2 percentage points. Trump endorsed Blake Masters, an acolyte of venture capitalist Peter Thiel, won the GOP nomination for Arizona senator, setting up a showdown with Democrat Mark Kelly in the general election. And in Kansas, longtime Trump ally Kris Kobach beat back two lesser-known candidates to become the GOP's attorney general nominee. The Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing yesterday to assess the growing threat of harassment and violence faced by election workers following the spread of unfounded election fraud claims from the 2020 election. Assistant Attorney General Kenneth A. Polite told the committee that the Justice Department has reviewed more than 1,000 hostile threats against election workers over the past year. A recent national survey found that 1 in 5 election officials say they are somewhat or very unlikely to stay in their jobs through 2024 due to the increased threats and political pressure. California's McKinney Fire has consumed more than 58,000 acres and is now 10% contained, according to an update from state officials this morning. Thunderstorms dumped rain nearby the fire earlier this week, helping slow its growth, but causing flooding and mudslides in some burned portions.